Joyce don't have one for us this morning. Yeah. It's good to have y'all with us this morning. And we do appreciate these songs as we've heard. And I'm glad I have one that sails with me. Because life's sea is rough. You never know what's going to happen around the corner, down the road. As we said about remembering things, today, this morning, everything might have been good. But just by this afternoon, things could be turned upside down. So I'm glad I have a Lord that goes with me each and every step of the way. And the book of Hebrews is where we'll be reading from this morning. And this is one of those messages that that we fight and we try to stay away from. But yet it's one of those words that our people need to hear. We need to hear a word from God that just stirs up our hearts, convicts us of our lifestyles, and causes us to want to change and get right with the Word of God. People say, well, times have changed. Our churches need to change. The preachers need to change. We need to get with the times. But God says His Word is true, and He changeth not. Men and women will come and go. Books will come and go. Philosophies will come and go. But God's Word does not change to fit men's lifestyles today. And I want to preach to you this morning a message that the Lord has laid upon my heart from the book of Hebrews in the 9th chapter. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, there's so much that's in here today. But we want to start, if it would be all right, in the 23rd verse of this 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He says in the 23rd verse, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these." Talking about the sacrifices that was offered in the Old Testament. Because the previous verse to this says that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. And he says, "But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And listen to this next verse. "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And you can be seated in the house of the Lord, taking our thoughts today from the 27th verse, where he said, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Using for a text today of just one simple word that means so much, judgment. And most Baptist churches, and even we as God's people, we do not like to hear the word judgment. We like to stay away from it, and we like to think, as so many folks today are, that there is nothing that is wrong. And we will not have to pay for anything. But the Word of God is clear and it's concise that any time we know to do good and we do wrong, it's imputed as sin. And we will give an account for our sins. We will stand in judgment for our sins. And this is, I don't want you to clam up on me this morning. I want you to understand that judgment is important. God is a God that instituted right and wrong. And because there is a right or wrong, if you do not do right and you do wrong, there's a penalty that goes with it. And that penalty is consumed in judgment. And people get awful nervous when you start preaching about judgment. But the Bible history and Bible concordance will tell us that judgment is defined in many different ways. But These are the ones I want to share with you this morning as I wrote them down, that judgment is the sentence or decision of a judge. And we have a judge that we must all appear before. You get quiet on a Sunday morning in a Baptist church. But he says also that judgment is the spirit of wisdom and prudence, enabling to know and discern right from wrong and good from evil. You wonder why there's not much talked about in judgment in most of our churches today? It's because in order to talk about judgment, you have to be able to teach what is right from wrong. Amen. And what is good from evil. Amen. And when you teach what is right and wrong, then you get back to the Word of God. Amen. And so many don't want the Word of God. They want a word, but not a word from God. Because a word from God stirs up their hearts. It gets where they live at. And can I put this in and then I'll move on? Not everything that the world says is right with God. And it doesn't matter what your neighbors and my neighbors, what your co-workers and my co-workers, and what the our government says. If God says it's wrong, we better stay away from it. And it's not just what is right or wrong, but folks, we will give account. We will stand in judgment, as the Bible says in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. We will stand in judgment for those things that we speak, that when we ought to be quiet. We'll stand in judgment for those things that we have done wrong, and for those things that we have not done that we were supposed to have. People say, it sounds like God is a mean God. He is a great God. Just and merciful. As long as we try to stay within the boundaries of what thus saith the Word of God. People say, well, I can't live by God's Word. None of us is able to keep the whole Word of God. But God looks down upon us and we often pray, Lord, help us in spite of ourselves to live close to You and to do Your perfect will. The Bible also says in that concordance, it tells us when we talk about judgment, it talks about the final judgment. Now you're going to help me preach this morning, because I do believe in a final judgment. People say, well, that's way off, way out there in the future, when we all stand before the great white throne of God and have to give an account for those things which we have done. I want you to help me preach this morning that judgment is not way off in the future. But 1 Timothy said it like this, that judgment therefore must begin at the house of the Lord. You wonder why so many of our people can do so many things, as Jim testified this morning. Our kids that go to schools were people that have heathen kids. And this is, I'm not passing judgment, I'm just preaching the Word of God. If we fail to instruct our children and our grandchildren on the Word of God, then their hearts will not be molded into the Word that God wants them to have, and anything will be all right for them to do. It's no wonder our country, our churches, and our homes are in the shape that they're in. It's because there is no such thing as right or wrong. It's whatever feels good, that's what you ought to do. And nobody should be able to look down and cast judgment on you because you're doing what you feel is right. Folks, let me tell you, it's more than what you and I feel that is right. It's what God says is right. Because anybody ever done anything and you could justify why you did it because of what somebody else did? Or because of somebody else's lifestyle. Folks, do not fashion your life after my life. Do not fashion what's right or wrong in your life based upon what mom and dad or grandpa or granny says is right. But fashion your life upon what the Word of God says. And if the Lord says it's right, then it's right. And let every man be a liar, is what the Word of God says. Isaiah said it like this, for the Lord God is a God of judgment. You cannot have, and I'm trying to find the right word, you cannot have a word from God that says this is wrong without having a judgment to pay for it. If God says it is wrong and we violate that, then there's going to be a payday. There's going to be a payday. And people say, well, I'll pay for that when I get to heaven. Let me be clear in this. All of our sins will be paid for in this life. Because heaven is a perfect place. Some folks think that, and I'm trying to move along quick, but this is about a 5 or 6 message in one today, Larry Jones. Some folks think that when we get to heaven that you'll go to a place and once you've paid for all your sins, then you'll be released and you'll go to a different level of heaven and you'll keep going through that until you reach the final heaven. The Bible says that God is the God of heaven. And it says that it is 1,500 miles square. Amen? It doesn't say that there's 2 or 3 levels. It says that it is a place that God resides over. And folks, if there was any paying to do for any of our sins when we get to heaven, it would not be heaven. But how many of you know when we get there, we're going to sing and shout and praise God? People say, well, are we going to sing and shout if He's such a God of judgment? Folks, judgment is in this life. We have to pay for what we have done in this life. So that when we get to heaven, we can be free to rejoice and praise God for saving of our soul. Hosea said, you better give ear to the word of God and to His judgments. People say, well, what is the word of God? And I can't see this morning, so let me over there, but let me pull out my Bible marker instead of turning back to the book of Exodus. You say, well, if we know what we're supposed to do, then we wouldn't have to stand in judgment. Listen at these this morning. The Bible says that God gave them a word, and this is not all of the commandments and all of the word that God gave to Moses, but this is important for us to see. That God said that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen to this. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. Now, if we know that that's the word of God, and we do anything to break this law of God, then we are guilty. And we stand in danger of judgment. Is anybody in the house guilty of these laws that God has given? People say, well, I did them a long time ago and God has forgiven me and I don't have to worry about them. If your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are absolutely correct. You do not have to worry about those sins that you did yesterday and years past. But every day, you and I stand in judgment with the Lord. A few weeks ago, and I gave this in a message, and Larry Jones has commented on it a couple times. Every day, the Lord renews His benefits toward us. How many of you are happy to have the benefits that God has for you? Amen? Well, mark this one down, because I found it in the Word of God. Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. It says it like this. Every morning doth He bring judgment. His judgment is new every day. Some of you go back to Zephaniah, because this is important that we understand it. Let me read it to you. The Lord, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. God will not ever punish us for something we did not do. How many of you have ever received punishment for something you didn't do, but it was something somebody else did? Amen? God will not do that, but every morning doth He bring His judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. Because you see, they just think there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with what I do. But folks, we all have a law that we have to live by. If you do something wrong in this land and you get caught, you're going to have to pay for it. Many of our people have been sent off to jail and other places, prisons even, they have to pay for the sins that they did in this life when they broke the law. Folks, let me tell you, the prison house is nothing compared to the judgment that God has for people that fail to live up to His Word. Everything might look good right now on the surface, but I worry and I pity and I pray a lot for folks that live their life as though everything is okay. Because I know that there's going to be judgment where they're going to have to pay for those things which they have done. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not being judgmental because I have enough to worry about in Roger Grammer. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? But folks, when I see other people just living their life and doing everything that they think is all right and they don't have to worry about it, I know what the Word says. And the Word says that God will have a day of recompense upon them to where they will stand in judgment and give an account for themselves. I cannot stand for anybody else. I have to stand for myself. And it's no wonder there's no judgment anymore. Because as 1 Peter says, and I think I may have said Timothy, but 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 17th verse, he says that judgment, therefore, must begin at the house of the Lord. You wonder why society is in the shape that it's in, our lives are in the shape they're in our homes. It's because there's no judgment being preached from the pulpits in the house of God. We're living in a pluralistic society to where if it's all right with you and you don't feel wrong, then I shouldn't say anything about it. Let me tell you, folks, I don't approach folks and tell them what they're doing is wrong, but I believe in the pulpits of America, we ought to be able to preach what the Word of God says, and if God says it's wrong, mom and dads and grandpas and grannies ought to move up to the Word of God instead of us taking our churches and fashioning it to where there is no wrong or right. It's whatever you feel like doing, that's okay. Is this not what mainstream American churches are preaching today? There is no judgment. If there is no judgment in our church houses, we certainly will not have any in our schoolhouses. If there is no judgment in the house of God, and folks, I'm trying my best to be gentle with you this morning, but the Word of God has to be preached in its power and its purity. And folks, you and I can make excuse after excuse after excuse for what our people have done, why they're living their lives the way they are, and why they're acting the way they are. But folks, when it comes down to it, God will not accept any excuses. God says it's wrong, you did wrong, and now you must pay for that which you have done. And it scares me. Can I be open with you this morning? Larry Jones, I know what I've done in my life. Anybody else want to confess? And I know since I've been saved that I have done wrong. But folks, I don't have to wait until I die to find out how bad I've been. God's judgment is there every day to remind us that we knew to do right and we did wrong. And God's judgment is there that tells us that we should have done what the Word said, but we did not do it. See, there's sins of omission and sins of admission. There's actions that God wants us to do. Anybody ever had it where the Lord laid upon your heart to testify and you did not testify? Anybody ever had a song in your heart and you thought, well, let somebody else sing and you kept that song to yourself? Any of us as preachers had a word to preach and we kept it to ourselves and didn't preach it? You know why? That gives God, because of His Word, that we should have done it, that we're going to have to stand in judgment and pay for that which we did not do. People say, it sounds to me like God's a mean God. He's a loving God. And His judgments are true. Every one of us, folks, even the best we try is going to fail God. But I believe it like this morning. It ought not just be once or twice a year that we find our way to an altar, but we ought to wear the altar out. asking God to forgive us that which we have done that is wrong, and asking God to forgive us for those things that we should have done and we did not do. We ought to find an altar somewhere. People say, well, I just can't pray. You ought to seek God until you do pray and get right with the Lord. He says that we will give an account. Romans the 12th chapter says we, or 14th chapter says we will give an account of ourself, of himself to God. I have to answer for Roger. Billy, you got to answer for Billy. You got to answer for I cannot answer for anybody else. I have to stand there for myself. People say, well, how do you stand in judgment? How many of you, when you've done something wrong, you don't need a deacon or a preacher to tell you did something wrong? You know that you did it wrong. Amen? And every time we've done something that is wrong, it's because the Word of God is etched in our hearts and in our lives that we know what is right or wrong. People say, well, I have excuse to live my life the way I do. You don't know what happened to me in years past. Folks, and I don't mean to be abrupt. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I want to get down to where your life is at. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or 5 years or 10 years ago. We need to get back to the Word of the Lord and say, God, forgive me for these years that I've been idle, and help me to live a life to show that judgment is true in your Word and in our lives. Because there's many things that you and I could do. In fact, let me just tell you this. Paul said that there is actually nothing that your neighbors and my neighbors and this world is doing that is wrong. That'll get some folks' attention in a Baptist church. He said all things are lawful. Did he not? But he did go on. He didn't stop there. But he said not all things are expedient for me to do. Right. Folks, we can't act like the world and expect to have favor with God. We have to do what the Word of God says. Not everything that the world says is right is right. And not everything that they say is wrong is wrong. People say, well, that's confusing. We ought to base our lives upon God's Word. If we do what God's Word says, we'll be all right. And we will face this judgment. The Lord said it like this, that we stand in judgment each and every day. Zephaniah said it. Every morning, the Lord's judgment is there. It's refreshed. It's new. It stands there. And folks, I don't have to wait until I die to stand in judgment. I live every day in judgment. People say, I wouldn't want a Christian life if I'm always in judgment. You know, from the childhood up, mom and dad taught you what was right or wrong. Oftentimes, I would get mad at mom and dad because I wasn't allowed to do things that the neighbor's kids did or the people at school. And I would get mad at them. Anybody ever get mad at mom and dad? But you know what mom and dad was doing? They was protecting us from the devil and his wiles, because their life was not based upon what the neighbor said. Their lives was based upon what the Word of God says. And folks, look at our lives. We are the better because mom and dad told us about God and His Word. I feel sorry. In fact, I'm afraid for this next generation that has no judgment whatsoever. Because I know that when God unleashes His wrath, folks, it's going to come in, and it's not just going to take the old folks, but it's going to take some middle-aged folk, and it's going to take some young folk, that God is going to open up His wrath, and then people are going to say, why did God do this to me? It wasn't God, it was you and I that did it, and God's judgment came down from heaven and said, you must do right, or you'll pay the consequences for it. People say, I don't like this kind of preaching. It's the Word of God. Amen. You can't act like the world and expect to have favor with God. You can't live like the heathen and expect God to smile down upon you. I'm sick of folk that just want to go to church and talk about the good times and talk about how good God is. And I love to preach those messages as well. But every once in a while, we need to be told you have to live right, do right, and act right. Otherwise, God will have nothing to do with you. And you'll pay for it. People say, well, I don't have to worry about it. I'll live my life the way I want to, and I'll pay for it after I'm gone. People have got a misconception about Revelations, and when they start talking about that they saw the great white throne and those that stood before it, and they gave an account for those things that they had done in the flesh, whether they be good or bad. Folks, let me tell you, when we wake up every day and when we live our lives, we are in judgment before God, and we will give an account today, not tomorrow, but we'll give an account today for those things which we have done in this flesh. People say, well, when am I going to pay for it? Folks, there's things that I pay for every day. People say, well, I don't see you afflicted. I don't see you sick. Folks, don't take that sickness and affliction. It's sent from God as penalty for the judgment that's upon your life. But take it like this, folks, when I know to do wrong, right, and I do wrong, it's not necessarily what you see is my penalty, but it's the things that I have to live with. Knowing that I failed God, and knowing that I let my Lord and Savior down, and I just like Joseph was. When he was there, and you know, he could have had Potiphar's wife. He could have had her, and nobody would have ever known anything about it. But he said, I cannot do this to my God. I cannot do this to my Lord. Folks, many folks today see nothing wrong. And I'm just preaching my heart to you this morning, church. See nothing wrong with extramarital affairs. I'm preaching the word. They see nothing wrong with stealing. They see nothing wrong with being on the golf course or out in the boat on Sunday instead of in church. This is the word. They see nothing wrong with celebrating with the other gods of this world and walking, trying to walk with God at the same time. Folks, you're either with God or you're against God. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either right or wrong. And if you're right, if you can justify it in your own mind and make yourself right, then you make God a liar. And God is the truth. Our people today don't worry about judgment because they think, based upon what they're hearing from the preachers in the pulpits, that everything is all right. Let me tell you, I may be hardcore, I may be old-fashioned, I may be called one of those hard-shell Baptists. They, a lot of different things they might call me. But folks, if the Word of God says it's right, then let's praise God for it and let's do it. If God's Word says it's wrong, let's mark it and stay away from it so we don't put our own lives in jeopardy and the lives of our children and our grandchildren. People say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. Because every one of us is paying because no judgment is being preached in our churches. You say, how are we paying? Our country is going to hell by the handbasket full. Amen. This is the truth. Amen. Our country, our people, our leaders, they talk about God when there's a great catastrophe, that there's a great problem. They talk about God, and then they turn around as soon as things get good, and they turn away from God and go right back to the vomit that they came from. Folks, let me tell you, you cannot use God like a dish rag. You have to either walk with Him 7 days a week or you stay away from Him. Because God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. People say, God wouldn't do that to me. You read in the Old Testament when the people of Israel went to the gods of the land. You know what the Lord did? He turned His back upon them. Said, if that's the way you want to walk, then you go right ahead. You know what it cost them? It cost them 400 years in bondage. It cost them going into Babylon. It cost Assyria taking them. prison after prison after prison because they went after the flesh instead of following after God. People say it's not wrong for me to lie. The Word of God says it's wrong. People say, well, sometimes a little lie doesn't cost that much. Let me tell you, a little lie is just like a big lie. It's all a lie. People say there's nothing wrong. This is a lot this morning. There's nothing wrong with me gambling. Just because your neighbors do. The Bible says thou shalt not covet. You should stay away from those things that the world says is right. You know why you see so much advertisement for it? Because sin is abounding everywhere. Becky and I drive every day past this building that they're building, and I pointed out to her the other day. You know, our people are more concerned about entertainment and leisure time than they are about the Word of God. Amen. Can I go back for a minute? There's nothing wrong with fishing and golfing, as long as you do it and don't put it before God and the church. Amen. There's nothing wrong with visiting with your folks. There's nothing wrong with vacations. There's nothing wrong when it's done in the right way, but not before God. Becky and I drive past this building that they're building, and you know what? I've never seen a building go up so fast. You know why it's going up so fast? Because it's the new gambling center downtown Cincinnati, where folks can go and waste their hard-earned money in hopes of winning. Folks, let me tell you, I've often told people like this, I work too hard for my money to throw it away. People say, well, you might win. Let me tell you what the devil works. He'll entice you with just a little to get you in the door, and then get you in there and take everything you got. Is it not the truth? You know what God says? Come to me. Come to me even though you have nothing, and I will give you everything that you stand in need of. But you have to live right. And people say, I don't like living right. If you get saved, you will. If you're saved and you get right with God, you'll like to live right. See, there's one thing that I want to be clear about. When I do things, sometimes the devil will put thoughts in my heart, just like he does you, in my mind. And the first thing that comes to my heart is this, what would God think about it? See, I used to worry about what mom or dad would think about it. Anymore in my life, I worry about what God would think about it. Let me tell you, there is no job worth me losing my relationship with God. And I'm going to say something here that some of you might rebuke me after church, but it needs to be said. There is no woman worth me losing my relationship with God. I'm just preaching the truth. There is nothing that the devil has to offer that is worth me losing my relationship with God and having to stand in judgment because of that just for a few minutes of time that it was good. David, ask David. If David could stand up here and testify before you this morning, he said Bathsheba wasn't worth it. Oh, this will preach this morning. He said it wasn't worth having her husband killed just so I could have her. Because look at all the pain and suffering it cost me in my life because of that. People say, well, there was nothing wrong with it. Ask David if there was anything wrong with it. He stood in judgment and he paid dearly for that which he did. Not just his life, but even in his children's lives. They paid for it. Folks, if God says stay away from it, we better stay away from it. Otherwise, we're going to stand in judgment for it. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, that some men's sins are opened before God in judgment and go before Him. And other men's sins follow after them. I don't know about you, but I can rejoice even in a message like this morning, knowing that my sins have already gone on before I close my eyes in death. My sins have already gone on before God and been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And my judgment day has already come for the sins that I committed. But yes, I still have to live a life that is holy before God. Otherwise, there'll be some more paying that I'll have to do on this side of the river.
Amen.
There's a lot to this morning, Jim.
Amen.
Others follow behind them. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come, Jesus said. Let me turn over to the book of Revelations this morning real quickly. In the whole 17th chapter, it talks about judgment. And I don't say this to offend anybody this morning, but it's talking about judgment of the great whore. You Bible readers know what I'm talking about. And it talks about those 10 horns. It talks about those 10 kingdoms. It talks about, or 10 kings, I should say. And it talks about these kings that had no kingdoms. And it talks about how judgment come to each and every one of them because the devil gave them power for a space of time. How many of you know in the book of Revelations also, it tells us like this, that those that are looking at their lives and try to justify everything, let me try to bring this together this morning. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to walk around with the seal of God upon their lives and the mark of the beast at the same time. Oh, that'll open some eyeballs. Folks, you cannot have the blessing of the devil and the blessing of God at the same time in your life. And people say, does the devil really bless? You read the Word. You look at people's lives. Sister Carlene, sometimes we have to look at people's lives and saying, how are they being blessed so and living that way? You know what it is? It's the devil smiling upon them. But you know how much it's going to cost them for what the devil has given to them? An eternity in hell and destruction. Because they went with the devil. The Bible says it like this, and I'm trying to find a closing place. That some people, to escape the judgment of the world, that they will sell their souls in order to have what the world says that they need. They'll sell their souls. The Bible says that there will be a time when you won't be able to buy or sell without that mark upon you. You know what some people will say in the church? We better get it so that we can live. You know what the patriarch of old said? Go ahead and let the world take that mark. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because his other brother said it like this. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. God always took care of his people, even in difficult times. Because they lived right. They lived right. But the Bible says it like this. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, in the 4th verse, it says, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. See, folks, it doesn't matter what the world says is right. You ought to live right just so that you live and reign with Christ in the world to come. He said, but listen at the rest of them. Brother Ivan, this is our neighbors. This is our co-workers. This is part of our families today. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. How many of you know that you have part in the first resurrection? Some of you say, I wish I knew what he was talking about. Just go ahead and raise your hand if you're saved. If you have part in the first resurrection because judgment came to your house, you saw yourself lost and undone, but when you saw yourself in that terrible state, you asked God to save you and he come to your house and saved your dying soul. He said, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, because on such a death, second death have no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with Him 1,000 years. And then we go on down to where the 11th verse, to where He says it like this: "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." Listen to this. There is a final judgment, but the judgment that I'm talking about today is the one that you have to get right before you leave this world. Because when the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. If I've got anything at all in this life to rejoice about, it's because I know that my name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even though I have to go through judgment here, I don't have to worry about the judgment that will come when those that don't have part in the first resurrection will stand before God and they'll hear the words, sad words: "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." And the rest of that verse says, "And the dead stood before God, death and hell delivered up all that they had in their bounds, and they were cast into that lake of fire." Let me tell you, folks, there is nothing, again, I'll make this statement, there is nothing that the devil has that's worth me going through judgment for all eternity in hell and destruction. I'd rather live right and rejoice in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, knowing that my sins are covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior. People say, "I don't like when they preach like this. I don't like when they tell me I can't do what my neighbors are doing. I don't like when they tell me that I can't do what the church down the street says they can." Folks, it's not Roger's word. It's God's word. Any church that will preach you a lie, you need to get away from it. Anybody that will tell you a lie and not the truth, you need to mark them and stay away from them. But folks, what we need to do is, when we hear the truth, we ought to rejoice that the truth is being told to us, and rejoice in knowing that we can base our life upon God's Word. Yes, sometimes it's hard. I'm just going to be open with you as I try to find a closing place. Sometimes it's hard, and it's almost, they make you feel bad that you can't go where they go and you can't do what they do. But then I think about this, Sister Mary. I have no desire to go where they're going and act like they're acting and do the things they're doing, because Jesus saved me from all the world. He saved my life, and He said, "Be ye a separate people. Come out from the world and act like a child of God, and judgment you'll not have to worry about." Let me close with this. Rob Sharon, give us a song. I guess I am bragging this morning, Larry Jones. I do not have to worry about final judgment out yonder in the future somewhere. People say, "Well, you're awful boastful." No, let me tell you why I don't have to worry about it. Because my sins is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That when that day comes, I will already be rejoicing in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you like this. People say, "Well, I just don't think I could stand and watch my loved ones being cast into hell and destruction." Let me tell you, God is going to take His church home first, and then the final judgment will come upon this earth. People say, "Well, I don't know if I can bear that thought or that day." Folks, when God calls, all the former things will be passed away, and behold, all things will be new. We'll have no remembrance of those in our lives. We will just be happy that we're not in hell, but we're in the streets of glory, praising God for all eternity today. I'm glad there's judgment in God's house. It's what brought me to the knowledge that I was wrong, and I needed to get saved. I'm glad that there's the judgment, because it's what makes me want to live right and do right. But I worry about our people that can just act like and do anything they want to and never have any remorse. I probably worry more about them than they worry about themselves, because they just act like everything is okay. Folks, everything is not okay. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I don't like these kind of messages no more than anybody else. But then I praise God for them because it's what made my life what it is. It's what makes my soul happy. It's what gives me fellowship with God. Sometimes when I mention about God coming and visiting me during the day, maybe some on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I wish you could be up here. Sometimes when I mention that, people look at me like I've lost my marbles. But I'm glad that I have fellowship because judgment has already come to my house and I'm found worthy to be called a born-again child of the God, not a church member. And let me close here soon, Lord. But not a church member or somebody that just joined up. But I've been to the river. I've been baptized. I am a redeemed child of God. And judgment ought not scare us. We'll rejoice that there's judgment today. Stand while they sing a verse of a song. We need judgment today. Because it makes us live right. It makes us want to talk right. And do right. Sometimes I think we ought to just say, Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to live better. Help me to live by your statutes and your word. And not place such importance upon what everybody else says. I come to the conclusion a long time ago. Regardless what I do, people are going to talk about me. Regardless what I do. If I try to join up with them, they're going to talk about me. If I stay away from them, they're going to talk about me. So I come to the conclusion of this. I'd rather walk with God than I had the whole world. Because God knows exactly what I need. And God can do more than the whole world can. Why don't you follow your heart this morning? Judgment has come to your life. Judgment come and said there's some things that you need to get rid of. There's some talk that you need to get rid of. There's some desires that you need to get rid of. Can I put this like this? Every time a child of God that the doors are open, there ought to be a desire to be found with God and His people. Now, there's times you can't be there. I understand that. But there ought to be a desire to be out with God and His people. You say, Pastor, everything was all right until you told me I had to go to church 3 times a week. You ought not be a burden to go to church. It ought to be a joy that God allows you to come to His house, that He's blessed you with health and strength. How about you this morning? You say, well, I've done too much wrong in the past. God will forgive you. And God will give you the fellowship that you need. You say, I messed up too much. I've known all along that I should be in church. I've known that I should be living a Christian life. Folks, you cannot go back and redo yesterday. But you can come this morning and say, Lord, as for right now, I want you to forgive me of all that I've done that was wrong. Give me good fellowship with you, and from this day forward, I'll try my best to live by your word. Would you do that this morning? Don't do it for Roger. Don't do it for the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. But do it for yourselves and for your families this morning. While they sing this song, take that step today. Because judgment is coming. Might be this afternoon to you. Maybe some of you already had it this morning. Maybe it'll come tonight. We never know when it's going to happen. But the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. Yes. I hope you got something from the Word of God this morning. Let me close with this. I want to get on the soapbox for just a minute, then I'll close. Every once in a while, I'll see this, and I think it's part of the conspiracy of our government. And this is just Roger's thoughts, okay? But everywhere you look, there's cameras. Did you know with your cell phone and all these cameras, there's nowhere that you can go that the government doesn't know where you're at? Somebody else knows where I'm headed, right? I told Becky a few months ago, I said, I think it's a conspiracy that the government's always keeping an eye on you and knowing where you're at, what you're doing. They know your buying habits. Every time you go to the store, they know what you buy. I thought Kroger's was very smart when I went in there the first time. And this has been several years ago, and I went in there, and they started spitting out these coupons of things that we bought. And I thought, man, how do they know what we buy? It's because it's all in the computer. Everything about your life and my life, a computer is tracking it. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible talks about this, and several years ago, Gene Shearer, in a message after I preached a message, he said, are you a Freemason? I said, I've never had anything to do with it. My dad is, but I've never had anything to do with it. Because you see, the Bible teaches us this, that we're coming down to there's going to be one world order, and we're getting away from cash to where there'll be one currency be used all around the world. People say, Pastor, now you're getting away from God's Word. This is in the Word of God. It's the Word. But I told Becky a few weeks ago, and I don't want to get off on that tangent, but I told Becky a few weeks, maybe a few months ago now, I said, this bothers me. All these cameras everywhere. I said, you can't do nothing. You can't go nowhere that there's not a camera watching you. And, you know, she's my other conscience. She said like this, if you ain't doing nothing wrong, it shouldn't bother you. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's true. As long as you're not doing anything wrong, it shouldn't bother you. The Bible does say that there's an all-seeing eye watching us. But let me tell you, I know God's watching. And He knows that we deserve judgment. Folks, some of us need to be taken and just whooped. You say, well, I wish you wouldn't be so hard. You look at your own life. I'm answering for Roger this morning. There's times that I deserve a whooping. And judgment will bring it. It'll bring it. So it's not necessarily the scars that you see. God knows how to get to your heart. The heart of things. But it still bothers me that the government has all these cameras everywhere. And the cell phones that they can track you down. And you know what? If you don't have a cell phone, the government will give you one free. That scares me. That was the final straw. You know what that said? If you can't afford one, we don't know where you're at. We want you to have one free so we can find where you're at. Anybody else concerned about these cameras and phones? I'm worried about it. Because, folks, the devil is coming in like a roaring lion. And he's coming in to tell you everything is all right. And he's getting everything in order. He's working on it. See, it didn't come overnight. He comes in slowly and takes away. He chips at it on the edges and gets to it, Brother Wayne. And he's going to get it to the point to where he is going to control us to where you will not be able to buy or sell without his mark. People say, well, will it be a mark that I can look at and tell? You know, old time Baptist preachers and Pentecostal preachers used to preach that everybody would have that mark in their hand or forehead. But folks, you can have that mark and not the brother or sister or husband or wife not even be able to see it. Because now they got this technology. They got this technology now. They can put a chip in your hand or in your forehead. You not even be able to see it. But that chip can record your every action. You don't even have to have a credit card. You can use that chip. Just scan it. It's got your whole life on it. People say, oh, you're scaring me, Pastor. You better be scared. Judgment's coming. Not just individual, but judgment to America for all that she has failed to do and for all that she has done. And folks, let me tell you, I used to listen to a lot of preachers. But you know what I've done lately? I've turned them off. You ask me why? And folks, you just take it up with God. Because I am just fed up with people preaching these rosy messages and not telling you about God and to fear Him and to live right, act right, and talk right. They're just giving you a rosy picture. All it is a feel-good session. There's no gospel in it whatsoever. And if there's no gospel in it, we ought to stay away from it. Stay away from it. God bless you today. I hope you got something from the Word. All that other stuff didn't cost you anything extra. But I left my cell phone at home this morning. So unless they track Becky, they don't know where I'm at. Amen. God bless you. Get you a good lunch. Get you a nap if you need one. Come back and be with us tonight, Brother Kenny.